What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today's guests on Strictly Business are Perlina Iboque, chairman of Universal Studio Group, and Aaron McPherson, chief content officer for Verizon Consumer Group. Both conversations were drawn from the Entertainment Summit that Variety produced in conjunction with the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas in early January. Iboque is one of Hollywood's most prominent television executives, and she's clearly a rising star in the Comcast NBC Universal universe. Iboque and I spoke about the exponential growth of series produced under the Universal umbrella. She details how Universal's strategy is to sell content far and wide to outside platforms in addition to feeding the many hungry mouths within NBC Universal. These days, it's hard for Universal TV to keep count of all the shows it produces, as you'll hear at the start of our conversation. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this break with Universal's Perlina Iboque.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back with a conversation with Universal Television's Perlina Igbokwe.
Obviously, 2022 year was a tough year for the business. In aggregate, it was a difficult year. It was a difficult year for the business on Wall Street. A difficult year of there's been some reckoning. I think it's at some companies, not as much at Comcast, but we've definitely seen some not retrenchment, but some
reevaluation.
Yeah. But when we spoke a few weeks ago in preparation, you were saying something that you said really stuck with me. That you said that this there's an aura of doom and gloom that you just don't see or feel or even
or what,
you know, sense. Love to hear about that.
Or I don't want to perpetuate. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of a, people. You know, are like, well, we think we're headed towards a recession. And so everyone is all immediately acting as if we're there, and there's all this belt tightening, and they're laying off of thousands of people, and I go, well, are we there yet? We're not there yet. This is all on the fears that it's going to happen, and once everyone starts acting that way, it feels like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. But you know, I've been asked that question: Are people going to stop buying shows? People are not going to stop buying TV shows. They need TV shows. They need things for, you know, the streamers need things for you to watch because you're subscribing and you're paying, and so they're going to be making things. And that's why I love being on the studio side is we're the people making things. And if you're making good things and good shows, there will be a marketplace for it.
Let me ask you about just, again, even in your tenure at Universal, the volume has increased immensely. How have you dealt with that on a structural level? Do you have more people working in development and creative?
No, we don't.
My sense was that you have not added, the commensurate number of people. So,
yeah.
So what has helped you just manage the process? Because it is a very intense.
Sure. Right. Under Universal Studio Group, we have four studios. Right. There's Universal Television, UCP, Universal Content Productions. Our alternative studio, UTAS, and we have a studio based in the UK, in London. And while they operate, independently, creatively, we're all housed under this umbrella group of Universal Studio Group that allows us to collaborate and share ideas and have more leverage in the marketplace as we're negotiating deals and things like that. And even in terms of, from a production standpoint, in terms of volume buying. So we think that helps us in terms of efficiency. But also, like you said, it's the same number of people, but who just really love what they do. And it is important. It's not just, okay, this is my job, this is what I do. These are people who love what they do. But think about it. We make television. I mean, I say to you all the time, I get to make TV. I'm a child of immigrants. I'm an immigrant myself. I came here when I was 6 years old. Watching television is how I learned about the American culture. I was fascinated by everything. And I think so much of what we watch inherently teaches people what to aspire to and what to value and what's important. And so the fact that I get to be someone who's now making shows that can have that kind of impact on other people, it feels like nothing but, you know, a privilege and the most wonderful thing in the world. So, you know, we try to have, you know, work with people who also realize that it's fun. And, you know, we're in a very privileged position. And, you know, we try to have the no assholes policy because the work is very hard. And so, you know, we don't need that making it worse.
The best producers always recognize the privilege of I was going to say time slot and date myself, but the privilege of having an hour of somebody's time.
100%.
And being on an air. And there is, I do think there is, for, with broadcast networks, you know, they are, you know, despite what you may have heard, they are still turning out, you know, you put the right football game on, tens of millions of people will come to it.
Yeah.
That shows you the pipes still work. Yeah. But there is still also, even with entertainment content, there's a new world of how people access it, but you still find your pockets of audience. It's just measured in a different way. Has that measurement has been such a subject of debate and sort of turmoil in internally? Are you seeing better analytics? Obviously, people are a lot smarter about how you measure things across different platforms. But are you seeing more sophisticated data that is helping you? I know that data can never tell you what script to green light, but
correct.
Is there something, and I know you feel very strongly
about
that.
Although I hear might have been a panel earlier, an AI panel that might have been trying to do that, but no, data cannot do that. You know, I think at the end of the day, what we do is we try to be in business with the best storytellers, you know, the best writers and producers, and we get behind their vision. We may, like I said, maybe try to help shape some of it. We may give them some input based upon what we hear that certain networks may want. But even then, what a network wants and what ends up being the biggest hit doesn't always correlate. But it's really an art, not a science, as to how you develop. And I was just saying to someone earlier today, you really can't chase something. You can't create it in a lab. You just have to have a wholly original idea that people haven't seen before, that's executed at its highest level, and that people connect to. None of that can you predict, right? And that's the fun thing about our business.
That's the lightning in a bottle.
It's a lightning in the bottle.
I was looking over, you have an incredible murderer's row of talent, Jordan Peele, you know, that you are doing business with currently, Jordan Peele, Seth MacFarlane, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler,
Dick Wolf,
a very well known producer by the name of Dick Wolf. With a lot of folks there, Seth MacFarlane, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, you have people that, and Jordan Peele as well. I mean, people that are auteurish. They are they're comfortable in front of the camera. They have that experience. Is that really? We're seeing a lot more of that in television now. Even the folks on Hacks. Paul Downs is one of the creators, and he plays the terrific agent. How is that? Does that influence? I mean, obviously, that those folks bring something to from the very get-go, an understanding of the writing and the structure. But how is that kind of the rise of the auteurs changed the way you develop and the kind of shows that you can get? Especially like an Amy Poehler is producing
many
scripted
shows,
comedies, unscripted. She's in her. I'm drawing a blank on the NBC show that she does with the Crafts with Nick Offerman.
That's Making It.
Making It.
She's also doing Baking It on Peacock. And she also, you know, produced Russian Doll for us, and she executive produces Harlem for us on Amazon. But that's also Amy. You know, that is Amy Poehler, who is a true amazing producer, and she loves storytelling. And I think people know Amy from being in front of the camera, but her real gift, I think, is that being able to connect with other storytellers and help them bring their vision, you know, to light. So, I don't know that we've necessarily gone after, you know, auteurs or former performers. You know, I think there are some performers who have a great ability to with story and know how to connect to audiences, and some don't. you know? But I, as I said, I think, you know, for us, it's really about, do we believe in the talent, you know, that we're working with?
Mm-hmm. That person. Question for you, obviously, in the world of what I hope does not become a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I do kind of have to ask you, do you think there's a lot of talk in Hollywood? There are some big issues on the table. There are big issues in the content business, and there are very important labor contracts coming up mm-hmm. for Hollywood in the first half of this year with yeah. the Writers Guild of America, Directors Guild, SAG-AFTRA. You can't produce a show without people that are in those unions.
Correct.
I definitely do not want to be a doomsayer, but what would you say is the dynamic right now? Do you have any sense of where the unions are, where the industry is, where we're going to see?
Well, this is another one of those like potential self-fulfilling prophecies. I mean, there's a lot of people you ask, and they're like, oh, there's going to be a strike. So if that's the attitude, I guess there's going to be a strike if that's the attitude. But what I would say is, look, the issues on both sides are very important, right? But having just come out of, you know, 2020, where there was a 6-month work stoppage, and there were a lot of people who could not work, who could not make a living, I would really like to not go back to that again. And we couldn't make TV shows, and there were a lot of networks who didn't have product. And so I think there are a lot of people who would like to just, you know, hope that we can sit down at the table and figure out the issues so that people can continue working. And I think that's the thing that people should not forget, is that there's a lot of, you know, below the line, you know, people who this will affect. Yes, it's some key unions, like the Writers Guild and other unions, but it also means that, you know, there's some guy who's pulling cable mm-hmm. for a show who won't work.
Or
right.
somebody who delivers bagels.
Delivers bagels or just works in the office. So I think it's, for me, when people say, do you think there's going to be a strike? My answer is, I absolutely hope not. And I absolutely hope, you know, and we're very supportive of let's figure out, you know, what these, and resolve whatever the issues are to everyone's satisfaction.
I can't believe that it's been actually 15 years since the previous one.
Yeah.
And I definitely, as you talk to people that remember and lived through the previous one versus those that are newer to the industry, I hope that they listen to the elders, because a strike, the last time around, it was not pretty. It was not good for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember that. I guess I'm one of the elders, huh? I do hope we can learn from the past. I don't know that people inherently just want to strike. I think people want to feel heard and get their issues resolved, and that's what we need to do.
I know, let's leave this on an up note. I know that one area of focus for you, not just because there could be a little issue with those pesky writers, but unscripted.
I didn't call them pesky.
No,
that's going
on
the record.
Me. That's on me. Sorry, as a writer, I can say it. A big goal for you is to grow your alternative studio. Unscripted.
That is very much one of, you know, our big goals. You know, we just launched a show called That's My Jam that Jimmy Fallon produces, and it's on NBC, and it's a great show. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But we've also launched, you know, That's My Jam UK. And, you know, we sold that format in the UK and multiple territories. And we're also expanding. You know, we were very much a studio that did a lot of, we call shiny floor shows, you know, like World of Dance, you know, or you know, The Wall. And we're going to continue to do that, but we're also expanding into documentaries. You know, we have this great doc called The Americas, that's coming out next year. And I was in London, went over to the BBC. We're doing it with the BBC, and I saw some of the footage, and it was incredible. Never before seen footage that they've captured.
Like the natural world?
Natural world. It's incredible. But also expanding, you know, into, you know, docuseries. You know, I'd love to find, like, what's the next iteration of these relationship shows that people seem to not get enough of, from 90 Day Fiancé to Love at First Sight to Love is Blind to The Bachelor to, you know, to the latest one I just saw, MILF Island, you know. Like, people seem to, you know, love watching other people grapple with relationships. So if we can find the next iteration of that, I'd love to do that.
Searching for couples in crisis.
No. Right. Couples in crisis leading to love, right.
Perlina, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for your thoughts. And truly, I'm excited to see what comes from your group in this coming year. I know you have a ton of stuff coming. Some cool stuff coming for Peacock.
We have a lot of great stuff. We just came off of, The Best Man, which just broke some records for Peacock.
Oh.
One woo, thank you. But we've got, second season of Dr. Death coming, and it's another great but unbelievable story. We've got Based on a True Story. That's the title, Based on a True Story, that Kaley Cuoco is starring in. We've got Pete Davidson's new show called Bupkis, and it is as outrageous as Pete. And Seth MacFarlane is doing a TV adaptation of Ted. So just, a couple of a new show, great, wonderful comedy called Primo that's coming out on Freevee. And these are all, on different networks, around the, I was going to say dial, but that just dated me too, right?
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with a conversation with Verizon's Aaron McPherson.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Verizon's Aaron McPherson is an executive who has straddled the world of digital media and Hollywood for most of her career. That's certainly the case now in her role as head of content for Verizon. Here in this interview with Todd Spangler, my great colleague who is Variety's New York digital editor and a semi-regular guest host of this podcast, Aaron explains what Verizon is and isn't doing in Hollywood and why that matters. Listen up to one of the industry's savviest players.
I'm just 6 years at Verizon after a career in media and entertainment. And I was very specifically recruited to drive the content strategy, which changed significantly. You're right. The Verizon had its own app, some really amazing content. And I think early, ahead of its time, perhaps, in mobile viewership habits, which 5G will help. I'll even throw myself on the 5G sword that Cynthia wanted to ask about, which is how does 5G change things? And I think that it will proliferate the ease of mobile viewing and wireless internet. One of the easiest, most immediate changes I think we'll see is high-speed internet available wirelessly. And we're already seeing that, right? The proliferation of our fixed wireless access business and our competitors are selling wireless self-install home connectivity that can power all of your needs, work, play, gaming, entertainment. That's just a very easy example. We like to talk about AR, VR, and immersive experiences and all the cool stuff that 5G will do, and it will. But if you really think about the most immediate, I think, impact for many consumers would be very viable wireless connectivity solutions for your house.
High speed, not just at home, but anywhere.
Anywhere and, you know, work, play, since a lot of people are now working at home. Work, play, stream video, your kids are streaming upstairs, you're working, you know, your partner is doing something else in the other room, all available wirelessly. That will be one of the, I think, you know, early outputs of this enhanced connectivity that we're experiencing across the United States.
So, in your opinion, do you think 5G has taken longer to take root and, you know, cause this evolution than we previously thought?
For sure. It would, you know, be
why is that?
Fake not to say that it has taken longer. It has, and it is. I think, first of all, the excitement around it was palpable, and there was the excitement that we had as an industry globally that was matched by media coverage of it. And the reality is it takes a long time to build out a national network of that level. And so we're all getting there, and we will get there. And then all of those other immersive, amazing next-gen experiences will also be possible with 5G. But as I said, the first immediate side would be seamless viewing of high-definition content from your phone anywhere, the ability to have interactive experiences right there. So think sports betting or, you know, real-time trading. We've already seen those instances where a millisecond matters. That throughput, you know, that increased throughput will, you know, and already is having immediate consumer benefits. And then, as I said, the home wireless. We have a fixed wireless access product that is self-install, so you don't have to wait the 8-hour window for the cable installer. I don't know if you've lived through that, right? We'll come between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., maybe tomorrow. This is sent to you, and even I could install it.
It's starting to take share from cable broadband, which has been...
Yes, that's right.
Pretty dominant.
That's right. So I think that, if we'd gotten to my question, that's what I would say. The thing we're calling 5G, which is what I'm saying is enhanced connectivity, wireless connectivity across the United States, will have that impact, yeah.
Now, and so your group specifically has been looking at what are the creative possibilities that open up with a 5G platform. You've been looking at this for years. You've got this creator series, looking at new forms of storytelling. One of the cool things was The Green-Eyed Monster from Viola Davis. This is an AR musical retelling of Shakespeare's Othello. What?
Yes.
And then you've got an AR rom-com.
Yes.
Thing from Paul Feig called Mr. Right.
Mr. Right. I love that because generally new paradigms, new technologies can be male, I think skew male. Now, granted, there's a huge, massive female gaming audience, but sometimes the subject matter can skew male, and Mr. Right is very definitely produced by, in partnership with Paul Feig's company, about building the perfect man. Not that that's male and female. I know that we're in a non-binary world, but it's a very cute rom-com that would skew to a more female skewing audience, and that's part of why we loved it, is we want to serve diverse interests, both sci-fi and gaming, traditional gaming, and rom-coms, and Viola's piece, which is a really, really creative take on Othello and the effect that jealousy, Iago, the character that personified the green-eyed monster, jealousy. That was a Tribeca Film Fest nominee. So we are dabbling, I would say, in funding content when it demonstrates the capabilities of 5G.
But what does it let you do that you can't do, say, on Netflix, you know, as a walled garden or whatever?
Our originals are specific to building out new models for 5G. So think of it this way. We're partnered with Snap on a lot of this. Maybe Snap is the distribution window. That's where it would be different. These shows aren't going on Netflix, although they could. They're being experienced through Snap AR lenses. And we're experimenting with, you know, will customers buy something like Iago, a Viola Davis original? Will they pay for a gamified version of Building the Perfect Man with Mr. Right? We're just early days figuring out, what do people want to experience in an immersive or interactive way on their phone? What are they willing to pay for? What's an add-on? The early obvious ones of sports betting and
concerts,
AR maps and concerts, those we're also working with Live Nation. We're working with the NFL. But these examples you've just named, I'd say, are more creative tests around what's possible. And what's great is we see the same excitement in Hollywood that I remember seeing early days of web video. I'm dating myself, but web 2.0, building out short form content, getting Tom Hanks and Jack Black excited about short form. That's what it felt like around 2006, 2007. YouTube just starting. It feels that way really with the metaverse web 3 stuff.
Well, and so the hypothesis, right, is that this will be more engaging because it's more immersive. You give the viewer a chance to participate in building Mr. Right or whatever it is.
Exactly. It's not linear storytelling in the way we think of it. And it's not choose your own adventure. Not that I love the attempts that have been made, Bandersnatch and others, around how can we involve the audience in picking their own ending. It's not like that. It is more, I describe it more as a game with narrative, which many great games have narrative. So that's where we've seen the creative land to date is in a game.
So safe to say, like, these are proof of concepts, proofs of concept?
Proofs of concept. And I would not take away from this that we are in the content production arena. We really are embracing our expertise as a distribution and marketing partner. And that's where the Netflixes and the HBOs and the Disneys come in, is with Plus Play, which is just launched in open beta about a week ago.
Good segue. That's my next question.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm taking over. I see the clock. The clock is draining, and now the audience is here. Plus Play is our direct-to-consumer store that we've launched last week in open beta and will be launching commercially, we expect, sometime late Q1, March timeframe. And I'm really excited about it. It's the result of a lot of years of internal work to get the company, I think, in a good place to really see that we are poised to be a partner of choice for all of these SVODs coming to market.
What is going to be different in the commercial launch versus what is there now?
We're enhancing. So if you go find it now, it lives on Verizon.com. It's not in our app. It's for Verizon customers only.
So it's a soft launch.
It's a soft launch. We'll be enhancing features and functionality, making things prettier and taking friction points away a little bit in the buy flow. If you just think about that, a company like Google does that all the time in their sleep. We are embracing that. And, you know, as a network company, we don't fail. When we put out our network, we have to be foolproof. But we are launching this very obviously and overtly in beta to test it and also get feedback from our customers. And the launch offer, which we've announced publicly, is really exciting. We're going to offer a number of SVODs to our customers. And if they buy one, they get Netflix on us for a year.
Netflix Premium.
Netflix Premium, four stream, high definition Netflix on us for a year. So we are really committed to giving our customers more and showing them that we are a great place for them to discover, manage, and get great deals on content and services.
So how does that work? Do you eat the cost of Netflix for a year?
Well, for marketing, we are underwriting some of that, yes. But then as we go on forward with Netflix, we're going to be doing other exciting things in the space as far as think about where we go with next gen, perhaps next gen bundling and other types of offers with all of our partners. We've got great trials. Think of it as our way of providing our customers with more value.
Now, did I hear you say this will be open to, or Plus Play will be available to non-Verizon customers as well, or this will be for Verizon Wireless?
At first, for Verizon Wireless customers, eventually opened up, you know, to everyone, you know, down the road. But we're starting out with our customer base, and we've got roughly 20 premium subscription services on the platform.
You just added Stars.
Just added Stars, just announced that. We'll be growing and adding probably by end of this year up to about 50. It's not our intent to aggregate the world's apps, though. That's not what we're about doing. It's going to always remain a curated selection. And our hope is also to push the industry forward by creating consumer-centric bundles and offers with these services. Think about, again, none of this is announced yet, but think about a bundle where a customer could get a video subscription service, something to do with health and wellness, since we offer, you know, Peloton and Calm. We might start to work with delivery services, anything that's a monthly subscription.
Okay. So let me ask this. There's a natural tension here because those providers want to maintain a direct relationship with their customers. Here comes Verizon as the disintermediator, right, or reaggregator, however you want to put it, and you're taking over part of that direct relationship. How does that tension resolve? I mean, there's got to be a win-win on both sides of this.
Yeah, absolutely. We conducted extensive research as part of the launch and strategy of Plus Play, and what is notable is every SVOD, even the biggest ones, need third-party distribution. So right now, that ecosystem is healthier with a variety of distribution points, right? And I think any ecosystem's healthier with a variety of players. You know, we now have some dominant distribution platforms out there. We'd add to the mix and hope to just be giving consumers more choice. To your point, I think if you're looking at it from the programmer's perspective, they've got their owned and operated, which they want to keep really healthy. They're keeping all of that revenue, presumably. But they have acquisition costs when they go get subscribers.
Okay.
So we're helping lower acquisition cost, and we're really helping reduce churn and lifecycle management.
So whatever that formula is, it should work out.
Exactly. That the revenue they're sharing back with us is, you know, that equation is a win-win.
And it's a bit different from the Amazon Prime Channels model, right? Because
you're
not actually slipstreaming it into...
Thank you for noting that.
...an integrated platform. I mean, is that a big deal partners?
I think it is. It's also for our customers. So what this means is we are about finding the stuff that you want to watch or maybe discovering new stuff. We're about helping you manage those subscriptions. So we have managed tools that'll show you, what am I even spending every month? Have I even watched that? Should I cancel it? Should I subscribe to something new? And then we're also about providing great deals, like a year of Netflix. What we're not doing is controlling your consumption, your streaming experience. So continue watching on Apple, on Amazon. That would be a big difference. And on Roku, wherever you want to watch. We're agnostic as to that. And it's a huge differentiator for not just our partners, but for consumers. Since right now it's a fragmented world, many households, our research indicated, are watching on multiple different devices and access points.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. Please go to Variety.com and sign up for our free Strictly Business newsletter. And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.
Oh. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.